Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. Glad you're here this morning. We pray God's blessing upon your life and that you are, I pray you're happy to be here too. So that you enjoy the time you spend. If you're a guest here, our goal is that you just leave inspired. Just leave with the elements of the Lord in your heart and as we share today. Great time of worship. Always good to be in worship, right? God's love language is worship, and I love hearing you worship, and it always does good for my heart. And it looks like a lot of people have started their early vacations, so but I'm grateful that all of you are here. And this morning, I'm going to do what I did last week. I had planned to start a new series this week, and then every time I'd pray about it, and I have it kind of prepared. The Lord would just kind of, it just didn't feel that peace about it. You know what I'm talking about? And so I decided that today I want to talk or share what the Lord kind of put in my heart was this thought. And this is the background we came up with is anybody ever seen The Equalizer? Yeah. Denzel Washington. You know, kick him a buttimus type personality. I kind of have the mentality, I'll just reverse that. We want to be influencers. So I actually, the Lord just put this in my heart. Actually, I want to give you 10 things today. I'll do it really quickly. I know it sounds like a lot, information overload, but this is something I learned about 25 years ago. Boy, I don't even look that old, do I? 25 years ago, I kind of learned some of the things I'm going to give you. Not all of it, but some of it will be really new from what the Lord has given me for you guys this week. And so, but actually, this is part of my vision for the year. This morning, I'm going to continue giving kind of a one-shot thing. And God really placed this in my heart. And so today, this is actually something... As I said, it's been there for about a year. It's actually started out as part of my vision for 2019. I've actually shared some of this with our staff and our leadership from time to time. And I wanted to dedicate this to all those who are looking for success. If you're looking for success in any area. I'm not talking about successful. We think of success, we automatically think about finances, and that's a big part of it. Obviously, we need finances to live, and how many would love to have more finances? Yeah. Right. I dedicate it more to the fact of I also want to be successful as a parent, a husband. I want to be successful as a brother or a son. I want to be successful as a pastor. A leader, a shepherd, a father, a husband. In every area of my life, I want success. And I think what I'm going to share with you today, I actually don't think, I know what I'm going to share with you today has the power to influence and the power to cause us to be successful in every area if we make it applicable. I think if we apply it, then we find those areas. Even if you just simply apply it at your home, right? That would be all worth it for me today because I really would love to see some of us implement some of this. But you can implement this at home, on your job, at school, with your kids. You can apply this in every area because a lot of these principles that I'm going to share with you are universal. And I want really to challenge all of us with probably a little bit more what I call a meat on the bone type message today. This would be, how many of you remember when we used to have Wednesday night services? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. This would be one of those services. But if you know Christ, if you're part of the kingdom of God, I think some of us, sometimes we need a little bit more than just the milk of the things of God. Amen. Thank you for that exciting response. You're like, oh, I'm not going to say amen to that. Not sure what you have in mind. But I want to start out with a scripture. I'll kind of give you, let me introduce it to you before you see it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, actually chapter 1, Paul says, hey, He's challenging Timothy. In chapter 1, he says, I want you to fan the flame. So a flame representing the Holy Spirit, representing God, the relationship he had with Christ. He said, I want you to fan that. I want you to continue to let it burn bright. And he said, actually, he said, the flame is put there because of your mother and your grandmother. And they actually were the ones who influenced you to be in this and to give your heart to this. And now Timothy is this young guy. And he says, hey, Tim, I want you to fan the flame. So he's taking him under his spiritual wing, Paul is, and he's saying, hey, just as your grandmother and just as your mother have influenced you, he said, now I don't want it just to stop there. He said, now that they've done that, I want you to do that with somebody else. And this is where he picks it up in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, then, my son, now again, he wasn't his father. He was talking about his in a spiritual sense. You, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, now entrust them to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach other people. And I actually would call that, if you read that, I highlighted all those words, those different phrases, because if you look at it, that would be a generational text. It's actually a generational teaching. What he's saying is to be generational with this. Meaning Paul was living his life generationally. He wasn't thinking about his ministry ending with him. He was thinking about how do I get my ministry, how do I make it effective? How would it be effective for generations beyond my life? And this is what I've always believed is that you and I have to leave a legacy. Somehow we have to leave a legacy behind. Right. I'm trying to do that with my children. I'm trying to do that with a church, whatever. I want to leave a legacy. I want people to say when I'm in the box. Right. And somebody's saying words over me. I want it to be something that people always said, man, I don't really care who shows up. I actually want it packed out and I don't want anybody not crying. I'm just kidding. I actually want it to be joyful because I like life should be fun, right? It should be filled. But I'd love to have the influence and impact on several people because I want to leave behind a legacy. Not just so much that, oh, you know, he was a straightforward guy, right? I get that in a lot. Man, you're pretty straightforward. I know. Or you are such a great driver. I get that one a lot. I'm impatient. I do get that one a lot. You're impatient. You don't like to wait for anything. And you're right. I don't. And if you'll let me drive in front of you, I'll show you. You can drive right behind me and I'll lead. You can just follow. But the fact I am impatient, I know that. I hear this one a lot. And that is that I'm a type A person. I'm more of the Peter in the Bible, right? It's like, let's go do this. And if you get in the way, we'll cut off your ear and then we'll pray for healing for the Lord to heal it back. But right? But that's kind of I'm ready to do something. Ready always. I like to be on the move. But Paul's saying, hey, when it comes to influence, when it comes to leaving the legacy, let's be generational. And this is how I'll show you in the phrase how he did it here. If you put up the next slide, is that he just says, hey, it starts with me. And then Timothy, you take it. And then Timothy, you find reliable people who will take it. And then those reliable people will find other people who will take it. And everybody will do something along the line to make this thing a part of them. And I want you to see this because I want you to take a challenge with me. This has been the challenge I've had for this year. And I shared a little bit with our staff. And that is that if you're serious about living for Christ, if you're serious about living for God, then I think the challenge has to be live your life generationally. Let me say it like this. God builds his kingdom through relational connection. The work that God is doing on the planet right now, his plan, his way of things, his way of doing things, is through relationship, relational connection. You hear me teach on relationship a lot, and you probably go, oh, I've heard this. It's all right. We've had more than one hamburger, too, so it's all right, right? We can have this again. So let me just take a small parenthetical thought, and that is, this is how it's going to happen. People... Listen, let me stop right there and say this. People don't get fed just because we have church services. People don't get fed using the idea of like feed the children. People don't get fed because you take up offerings. People don't get fed because you have a great idea. They don't. People don't get fed through great ideas or great offerings. They get fed because generational people pass down the burden from that skill set to other people who pick it up and run with it again. That's how people get fed. People get clothed the same way. They don't get clothed from great ideas of kids and coats. They get clothed with coats when people get up and go do something just because you have the money to do it, right? I've taught this so many times that people in countries who are starving to death and there's food setting, right? They're setting food that are ready to go, but they just need laborers to go do it. Even Jesus taught that. It's not a matter of we have a supply problem or the amount of food we have. It's a matter of that we have a laborer issue. We have a connection. Somewhere the outlet is broken. If we're going to be devoted followers of Christ, then you need to know that. And that is that this is actually God's plan. Let me say it like this. That when God sees you, he doesn't just see you. He sees the generation of people that you impact. I say that like that? Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. I don't think God just sees you. I think God sees the generational, the legacy that you leave. And so you got to ask yourself, what is that? What does that look like? Because if you say, well, Pastor, I'm not you. I'm not a type A personality. I'm not a driver. That's only 6% of the world. And I'm in the 73% that's a steady Eddie type personality. I just kind of like things. All right, I understand. But still, somewhere in life, you're impacting somebody. And they're going to impact somebody. Actually, studies have shown, scholars say that we are 3 to 4 people away from knowing everybody on the planet. Did you know that? So we are three. So let's say it like this. So you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody. And out of that 4, we have connection to everybody on the planet. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's I don't know how true that is. I just read that statistic one time. But God builds, I actually think it's true because God builds that way. That's how God builds the kingdom. He built it in us. So the challenge is for us to live a life that's reproducing and to be an influencer. See, I like hearing, I love hearing about other churches and what they're doing and growing from. And we've taken other churches and we've modeled some things here after that. And I love, and I've always said this, I actually like hearing what people are doing in some areas of business or this or that. I love hearing when people say, man, I achieved this level of success. But I've always wanted to be the person that somebody else is hearing about going, hey, did you hear about, does that make sense? When is it that they're going to say, hey, did you hear about Harvest Church or did you hear about Charlie Dial or whatever? I want that to be, and not to show off, that's not my goal. My goal is to say, when is it that they speak that about us? Right? Paul says to Timothy, hey, your grandmother, your mother put it in you, but don't let this die with you. Now you go find some reliable people, and those reliable people find some other people, and they all impact somebody. Right. At what point do you become the person that everybody else is talking about? And I hear people say, I need a mentor. And I always am like, why don't you become one? And then I promise you, the mentoring part of you will be met. It's very true. And we get stuck in Christian world where we're always in the receiving mode. But the real depth, this kind of thing, is that we start living in a way that we're impacting, not just always receiving. Where you get from God or a minister, let's say it like this. So let's say today that I'm imparting something, the Holy Spirit's imparting something to you. And then you take that and you're giving it to somebody else. And then they give that to somebody else. Where does it become that you and I become those things? And before you know it, the whole generation has been impacted by the grace gift that's inside of you. And really, if you look at Jesus' life, this is what he did. We sing songs, I think about it all the time. We sing songs about how, and people sing in church, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I just want to be. And we sing songs like that. Make me like Jesus. I just want to be more like Jesus. Is that true? Because let me show you what his real life was like, okay? Let me give you a little thought here. Jesus' public ministry wasn't very effective, actually. If you think about it, every time that Jesus taught publicly, people walked out of the teaching going, what? That's exactly what happened. Matter of fact, the Bible says over and over his disciples would come to him and then Jesus would explain. Only, if you read it, he only ever explained himself. Now, there were some times of the Pharisees, but he only ever explained some many parables to his disciples alone. Because his public ministry wasn't what he was all about. And I do believe there's a place for public ministry. But his whole ministry was for those 12. And out of the 12, they affected about 300, and then some of those left. And then what was ended up was 120, and then there was 3,000, and there was 6,000. And there was an adding to it as there was influence. But his whole ministry, his whole idea was evolved around those 12. And the Bible says the 12 only, not the crowd, that he explained parables. And he would sit down with them and he'd start talking about the meaning. Now, it's important that we all have a public ministry. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. Where we can touch people and everyone, and but the real direction of ministry is those people that we have influence with. And really, those 12 that he had influence went out and taught others, and we direct, and we are a direct effect. Actually, if you think about it, you and I are a direct effect of one of those 12, or one of those 11. We are. Somebody taught somebody, or somebody told somebody, and somebody told somebody, and we are direct descendant of that. Someone asked Billy Graham one time, most of us are very familiar with him, and what a great ministry, and probably there was nobody on the planet in our generation that had better character and better call to evangelism. And he said, they asked him, he says, do you have any regrets in your ministry life? And he said, yeah. He said, I have one. Without hesitation, he said, I have one. He said, I wish I'd spent less time in crusades and more time in a small group teaching people how to do evangelism. He said, because what's happened is that we spent all this time evangelizing and reaching people that we never trained up anybody to go evangelize and reach people. And he said, yeah, I have this one regret of not being evangelist or not being generational. To reproduce more like me was his thought. I'll give you a scripture. Psalm 145 verse 4 says, one generation commends your works to another generation. They tell of your mighty acts. Now, that's what I want. That's what I've always wanted for Harvest Church. That's what I want for my own life. That's what I want for you. And I want to teach you how to be that today. I actually want to teach you how to be an influencer, how to live an influencing life. Like if you want to start mentoring or discipling or influencing your kids, I'm going to give you 10 steps that I believe if you do these things, it will change. It will change the direction of your home. It'll change the direction of your job. It'll change the direction of the church. And the whole Bible starts this way. If you actually think about it, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants. And I highlighted these words because it's very important. There's only certain things that God created that have seed in them. You and I, any kind of vegetation or plant and trees, whatever, and then animals. Those three things are what God placed seed in that reproduce after its own kind. He says, seed-bearing plants and trees of the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to the various kinds. Now listen to this. The idea is that when it's amazing what God did in one plant. Most scientists have to see through a microscope, right? So he break down this seed. He put all the seed into a plant or whatever. Actually, I personally believe that he put seed for every living human being into one couple. Actually, Adam bearing the seed. And out of that, the production, if you would, started. And again, I know there's different people and have different theories on all that, but that's just, I got the podium, so I'm going to say what I want to say there. All right. And it was so, and the verse 12 says, and the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their own kind, and trees bearing fruit, seed according to their own kind. And God saw that it was good. And so God has spoken to creation, and now he's put seed in certain things. They're going to produce after its own kind. And you see it over and over, and it simply means that God put seed in a certain part in creation, whatever it could reproduce, it did reproduce. Verse 26, if you'll skip down to that, he says, then God said, let us make mankind in our own image. Now he's speaking to the Trinity. He says, let us make mankind in our own image, our own likeness. So God says, let's take some of our seed and put it into mankind. Now, that's an important part. We're to put some seed of who we are in them. And so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the bird of the sky, over the livestock, all the wild animals, over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, first thing God ever spoke, actually to you and I, to mankind, was be fruitful and go and increase. Now, what we've done is we thought, well, yep, that's what God. And listen, I have three children. I've done my part. The idea is we think in that term is that that was what God was talking about. He's like, hey, go and have a bunch of kids and replenish the earth. And really, he was saying what God was actually teaching there was that don't just increase in your with people, increase with what, everything that I put in, every kind of seed I put in you, I want you to increase it. I want you to be fruitful with it. Not just producing someone that looks a little like you and has some personalities and temperament like you. I want you to put everything that I placed in you into them. That's better than you guys are responding. I know. Take a little bit and it'll soak in. He said, I want you to put all of that. Take everything inside of you, multiply it, live life that is fruitful. And of course, you know the rest of the story, right? Because what happens, they disobey God. The serpent enters in. They eat of the Eve, that darn Eve. Brings the apple to Adam. And he gives in, right? And they realize they're naked. They're over there hiding. And now Jesus has to enter the scene. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, there's a prophecy given that Jesus is going to come. He's going to bruise the serpent's heel. Head, he's going to bruise his heel. Fast forward, all of this takes place. There's a law given. Jesus has to come. He dies. He rises from the dead. He appears before his disciples for a short period of time. And then his last words he gave to his disciples are basically God's first words that he gave to humankind. Go, make disciples, be a witness, an influencer. Literally means, when he says go and make disciples, it literally means, if you look it up in the Greek translation, it means to take a piece of you and to put it into somebody else. To pour it into somebody. Live life as an influencer. And all through the Bible we read that. He says pass it down, pass it down, pass it down. And here comes Paul. And he thinks that he's about to be executed. And so he looks over at his protege, Timothy, and he says, hey, don't let this die with you and I. Don't let this die with you and me. Teach others. Teach others. Now, let me give you one more thought before I jump into the 10. That is the next scripture. A little deeper thought here. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers of it. I'm glad, Paul. I would not say that to anybody here, but Paul said that. So wherever you're at, it's fine with me. But Paul says, you ought to be teachers by this time. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word over and over again. So watch what he does. He gives six doctrines right here. Most people don't even know this. I'll kind of get to that here in a moment. He says, you need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. He goes on. In verse chapter 6, he says, therefore. Now, we know this is attached because it's there for. Remember, anytime you see a therefore, you need to know why it's therefore. And he says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. Watch this. Not laying again the foundation of repentance. So he gives six doctrines that he considers to be first grade teaching. This is his thought. First, he says, repentance from acts that lead to death. Number two, and of faith in God. In verse two, he says, instruction about cleansing rites, so about kind of rituals. And then he says, laying on of hands, and then resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgments. And in the middle of all six of these, he uses this one, laying on of hands. And what that is at the end of people's lives, what they would do is they would have someone that they would lay their hands on, and they would actually say, everything that I am, I impart to you. Now take this and run with it. Now use this. and I'm imparting all that I... They would actually bless them. They would speak to them and bless them. And then one of the elementary teachings, he's saying, one of the elementary teachings of the faith is that you live your life touching people's lives, speaking blessing over them. That's an elementary teaching. And it seems like to me it's one of the hardest things to do in the church today. It's like we've got to be a senior in order to be able to do that. And he's saying this is the first grade level. Just speak to people and bless them. Is that all right? I need you to hear that because we as a church are supposed to touch and speak. Let me illustrate it for you like this. When my kids come home, right? I love when my kids come home. I love for them. And they're getting older, and so they come home a lot less when I'm up, if that makes sense. But when they do, I love to just sit and have conversation with them. And then I'll bless them. If they start telling me about, hey, I just you know, like I have one that's in college. I have one that is leaving for the Marines in a couple of weeks. I have one that is in high school. I got all these different, and you are in that. You that have been there already. Just bear with me, just for a moment. All right, I'm still young in this whole thing, but one of the things I love is that I love to be able to speak blessing over their life. Is that you're going to change the world? You're going to do something great. You're going to be somebody, right? I like doing that. Are you with me on this? Right? Because I think there's enough homes. I've ridden around with Matt, who's a police officer in this town, and I've ridden around with him, and I've gone into homes with him where there's enough people screaming at their kids. I've stood at the Walmart, I hate to say that, but at the line at Walmart, and I've listened to a woman berate her child when he wanted a candy bar, right? You stupid, put that down, right? I wanted to grab her. I could incriminate myself right here. Right, but you know what I'm talking about? Because I want to speak well. I wasn't going to share this story, but I got to share a story. So this morning, I took two wonderful children that I'm actually training up because somebody actually helped train my children in things that I wasn't trying to train them in. His name is Tim Shuffleman. So I was able to, I try to influence his now with a few things that he taught mine. And things that I didn't want him to teach mine, by the way. But anyway, today I took two kids, and we went down and like we're gonna get a donut. I said, "Hey, ask your parents." You go, "Yeah, get a donut. We got a donut." And one, he's like, "Man, I'll get a breakfast pizza." I'm like, "I'll get a breakfast pizza." Huh? The other one I couldn't find. I look over, and he's standing at the chip aisle. I go, "Whoa!" So I look at, and he's got a deal of Pringles this tall. I'm getting this. And then he has a sucker he wanted to get, and he's thinking, a sucker and Pringles and a donut. Part of me went, let's get all three. But I'm like, okay, you know, I don't want to go back with that because then I'd be a little overboard. And he says, I was like, get whatever. Then I'd realize, you know what? I just went, get whatever you want. So then when that was said, he took the Pringles back and he got the biggest bag of cheese puffs you could find. For breakfast, right? And to me, and so for me, I look at, and then we got to the sunglass rack, right? Sunglasses. I got to have sunglasses too. And Cheetos full of sunglasses. And I share that just in the sense that I don't have any issue with, right? I didn't walk in there. If you walk in with kids, you're like, no. Right, I want to be. I'm not saying you can't. You can have everything, but you are being able to say, "Hey, I'm going to speak life." And I think sometimes we get into this idea that with the church, that's a high ranking position. That in order to bless somebody or even speak some life over, that's a place you got to be at this level of faith, and it's not true. I shared that story just based on the comedy of it, number one, because when I write a book, I'm putting that in there, I promise you. But I share that in the thought that I think God's like that with us. I do. I really do. But he says, right in the middle of that, he gives this doctrine of laying on of hands. It's a blessing. It's a transference. It's a transference. It's taking what you know and it's putting into somebody else. It's taking what you have and putting into somebody else. And I joke about Tim, but I'm grateful for people like that who helped me raise my children. I've taught this so many times that if you are a parent here, you need to get other people in your life that help you raise your kids. Good close friends who you trust. Because it's a transference. It's a transference. That's what a blessing is. So let me give you 10 quick ways in 10 minutes to where to do this. How do we live an influencing life? So listen, if you don't use this but any place at your home, great. Use it there. But this is God's plan, not only for your home, but for the world. This is God's plan. If you ask me, how is God going to reach? Because I've had people say, well, I'm not sure how God's going to reach so-and-so. You know, are you ready for the big reveal? The big answer is you. Fill in the blank. Spouse, friend, loved one, coworker. I don't know how God's going to do it. Yeah, you do. You. And you need to accept that because it's a generational transference of what's in you. That's what it is. Now, there's 10 ways we become influencers. Let me give them to you real quick. Number one is you got to have integrity. Integrity. You got to have trust with people. People got to trust you. Right? Got to have integrity. Meaning you need to make a decision that you're going to live your life, that your life becomes an example for the people around you. Now, that's hard for us. I know this is very challenging. It's hard for us. And it's hard for us in several areas because, like I don't always want my kids to drive like I drive. I'm picking on myself because, right, I don't want to offend anybody else. I'll offend myself. But I don't always want them to drive like I drive. And listen, I know if I say, hey, if I used any other example, but let me step on my own toes and I may step on yours at the same time. But because the truth be known, my kids are going to drive, but they're going to drive the way I drive. They don't do what you say, they do what you do. And so I need to start off with this, not telling them what to do, but modeling for them what to do. Same thing goes for following Christ. I don't tell them to follow, I model for them following Christ. I know that's a strange thing in our culture today. When we leave church, we leave church. Church is what we do on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday, it's our life. And I'm just telling you, I don't leave this here when I leave here. I model it for them when I leave here. Right? You want deep, that's deep. See, I'll give you deeper. You need to make up your... I need to make up my mind that I want to live my life in such a way that they know everything about me. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with them knowing everything about me. Imitate my marriage, imitate my faith, imitate my relationship with Christ, integrity. That's a challenge. You want a challenge? There's your challenge. Be okay with how they imitate those areas. That's deep. Live your life as an example. Paul said, follow me as I follow him, meaning watch how I do it. Watch how I treat people. Watch how I speak to people. Watch how I talk to this person. Watch how I speak to my spouse. Watch how I follow Christ. Watch how I love people. And then you do it that way. Paul said that. Here's the second one we need to do in order to influence people is we've got to nurture people. Here's the meaning of nurture real quick. Webster says it like this, the care and attention given to someone or something that is growing or developing. 2 Thessalonians, Paul said to the Thessalonians that he was like a mother that cared for them and nurtured them. And the reason being is because he loved them. Meaning he gave them what they needed in order to grow. That's what nurture is. I'm going to give you what you need in order to grow. And really, I feel like I've done that as a father to my kids. I feel like I've tried to be that. I feel like I've done that as a pastor. I've done my best to do that as a pastor and leader. One of the ways I feel like I've done that is just being committed. being committed. I think that's what nurturing does. It says, hey, we're in this together. You mess up, I'm sticking with you. You fail, I'm right beside you. No matter what. That's what nurturing is. Listen, I could say to my son sitting here on the front row, I don't care what he does. I don't care what he does wrong. I will not stop loving him. Period. I won't. He could do anything, it won't make me love him any less. Now, I hope he doesn't go and do whatever he wants. But I know him. I know his heart. We have to live our lives like that, not just being the person that's receiving in, where it's, well, we're going to heaven, let everybody else go to hell. But it has to be our mentality that we're out to nurture other people, to help them, to get to that place where they're growing. Here's the third one. You got to have faith in people. This is a hard one. This is my favorite, but it's the hardest one for me to do. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's something that we aren't seeing yet. And if you really want it to influence someone else, you don't speak things that they are. You speak things that they aren't at the time. Does that make sense? We've in the prosperity group of this, we've taken the scripture and we've just twisted it so badly in order for gain. But it's not there for gain. God calls those things as though they are not as though they are for a reason. Let me give you the scripture. In Romans 4, it says, I have made you a father of many nations. He's speaking of Abraham, right? So we get all of our lineage on faith. He said he is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, a God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. Now, God has that power, right? But you and I, he put in us the ability to speak life or death into the lives of others. He did. He gave you the ability to do that. You speak things you hope for, not the things you see. That's putting faith in people. There's no doubt that I would not be standing on this stage speaking to you, I promise you, without a few people in my life who just saw things that I never saw. I can't tell you how backwards and shy and introverted I was. Matter of fact, when I went to seminary, I've told you the story. Dwana came up to me. I never met her before in my life. And at the moment she came up and started opening her mouth, I went, shut up and leave me alone. Right? Because I was there for God. I didn't like her. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me somewhere in there that sometimes God's plan is bigger than me. Right? But even after that, I was fine. Man, I'd speak to thousands of kids, no problem. But you'd get me in a group of one or two people and I'd just shut down. It just wasn't for me. And so I remember having to you could even ask Dwan. I didn't have faith in myself. I didn't have faith in my ability. But people would speak over me and they'd help me gain that confidence. And I think that's what we're doing. That's what we have to do with people. Speak into their life. Touch, speak. Here's the fourth one, number four, is you got to listen to people, right? How many like to do this one? I've got a minute video. How many want to see this video? Yeah. All right. I want to show you this video real quick, but I wasn't going to do this, but I think it's good for us, and especially, but all of you remember that you wanted to see the video, right? Yes. All right, go ahead.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just sometimes it's like there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on. Ow. If you would just...
Don't!
Enough said about listening, right? Not before you get all upset. It's like, you asked me to show the video. That's why I needed permission. And I'm sure many of you have seen that before. But the fact is that oftentimes we're not great. And it's not just men and women and spouses. We're not great at being listeners. And I think that's sometimes people just need you to listen. Just listen. And I'm the worst at it because I'm a fixer. I know the answer. You tell me, you come tell me, I got the answer, right? It's you. But the idea is that sometimes just to listen. Just to listen. Here's number five. You got to understand people. This one is hard. I had to learn this lesson with my kids more than anything. Just find out what makes them tick, what's happening in them, to understand the mindset of a person, all those things. Let me say it like this. You know what? In order to understand the mindset of a person, all you have to do is see what they've accomplished or see what they've achieved. But to understand the heart of a person, you have to understand. You have to hear, or you have to get into their dreams. Right? You want to understand the mind of a person? See what they've achieved. You understand the heart of a person? Hear their dreams. See, you have to start asking them, tell me what you're dreaming for. I've done this in my family. I've done this with leadership. Tell me what your goals are. Tell me what you dream of. Tell me what makes you tick. What makes you cry? What makes you laugh? What excites you? What makes you paint your face and goes to a Vikings game? Right? When you know they're going to lose. I mean, when you know. I'm sorry. That's bad. Right? Dig into their spiritual life. Discover their personality. Explore their background. What's their giftings? What makes them? What do they like in relationships? What's their attitudes like? What's their highs and lows? I think those are the things we miss out when we're building relationship with people. And remember, people don't connect to God until they connect to you. Here's the number six. I got to keep going. Is that you got to enlarge people. My favorite one right here, meaning help people always see the significance in their life. There are days that I'll preach up here, kind of like today. I feel like I'm working really hard to share this. And I'll go home and I'll say to my family, I'll say, hey, did you guys get that? And or I won't even say something. Most of the time, my boys or Duana, Aaron, they'll all come in and they'll say, hey, that was a really good job, good message today, Dad, right? And I don't know if it's because I need that. It probably is. But I always am thinking in my head, you have no idea how hard I was working. Right, you saw the car, but you didn't see it had four flats, and I was pushing it up the hill, right? Or you saw the duck on top of the water, but you didn't see my little legs just going like this underneath. And that's kind of the way I feel at times when you kind of get into that. But you always need somebody to go to enlarge you, to go, man, that was good. And let me say this. I'm trying to say this love, but some of you need to understand that when you get to heaven, your rewards are not going to be based upon, I served those children. And there's going to be some great things happening. I gave in the offering today that I'm going to get a great big reward for that when I get to heaven. You know what the rewards are based upon when we get there? How many people did you impact? What'd you do with what I gave you that you were called to? That family that I put you in charge of, that one that I wanted you to be the prophet and priest of, or the mother to, or the nurturer of, what did you do with them? How did you enlarge them? What did you do to make it better? I actually believe that we're going to stand before God as God. We're going to present back to all the things that God gave us. And he's going to say, well done. I'm applauding you. You did good. I actually believe that. I think sometimes we get wrapped up in religion. We go, oh, I gave an offering. I came to church. Or how successful I was. Or I sang in the worship team. I preached a message or taught a class. It's how many lives did you reach out to? How many people did you enlarge? How many people did you influence, impact for the kingdom? I was in a church once, and actually, I was trying to learn how they did some things. And one of the things that had, at the end of the service, had an altar call, and they had people come forward to get saved. And they actually invited them forward. And so then they prayed for them. What they did, they led them out of the side door into a prayer room where they would take a Polaroid of them. Remember the old Polaroid? You wave it there. Right? And so then what they would do is they'd give them a Bible, and on the inside of the Bible was a picture of a minister faceless, and he was preaching to 10,000 people, thousands of people. And there was no face on this, and what they would do is they'd take this Polaroid, cut out the face, and put it, glue it on that, or stick it on that faceless minister. That at the moment of your salvation, your now vision was that you're going to enlarge 10,000 people. You don't talk about enlarging them. Do you guys get that? That's pretty powerful. Here's the seventh one. I'll skip over that. Is you got to help. You got to navigate with people. Don't navigate for people. Navigate with people. Right? They don't need you to tell them who to marry. They just need you when they get married, help them navigate through that. Are you with me on that? Don't tell them what to do. Take the journey with them. Be an influencer. Here's number eight. And that is connect with people. Jesus was the greatest at this. Greatest ever walked the planet. Here's the best way to connect with people. And this is what Jesus did. You got to go to their world. How many times do you read in... when Jesus called, most people don't realize this, that when Jesus called his disciples, they think that Jesus stood on the mountaintop, right, and is like waving them up. Hey, come up to where I'm at. Actually, Jesus went down and sat in their boat, hung out with a bunch of sailors, if you know what I mean, right? Got in their world, sat down in their boat. Not one time did he ever say, hey, you guys come over to the carpentry shop. Didn't do it. Had that place because Joseph had left it. Jesus didn't invite them to his place. He went to their place. Now, don't get me wrong. Some people say, well, Pastor, you're saying we got to go hang out and all these different locations. No, I'm not asking you to go and compromise, but I am asking you to go and reach. Boy, it's awful quiet. I just need, hey, give me a Catholic cough or a Nazarene nod, whatever. I need something in here. We can, right? You guys with me, all right? All right. All right, here, number nine, empower people. Empower people. I'll just give you this description. Go ahead and put the next thing up. Here's how that empowering goes. I do it. Number two, I do it and someone else is with me. Then number three, they do it. I'm with them. And then we go from me not being there at all. They do it. And then they do it with someone else with them. That's empowering. Right? How many of you have done that with your children when it comes to mowing lawns or, right, making the bed? If you haven't, you should when they get to that place where they're old enough. I did that yesterday with a new one, the last one. All right, here's the last one, number 10. Reproduce yourself in them. Now, not to be cheesy, but if you think back to all those, you wrote them all down, you look at the first letter, the acrostic of that is influencer. This year, my goal, my prayer is for you, and here's what I want you to do. So if you took notes and you wrote this down, I want you to write one person. It's first week of May, by our first week of At the Movies, my prayer is that you'll have find somebody. Who's your one? Every week, I challenge our staff to take five people within the church, within out the church, someone in their sphere of influence, text them, call them, touch base with them, see how they're doing. I do this every week. Every week I touch base with somebody, visit with somebody, make a phone call. I'm not much of a texter to try to get through life, but I like making phone calls and hearing what's going on in your life. Now, I don't do that with everybody, but I definitely do it with people who are in my sphere of influence because I need that connection. But there's also people I do it with who I make connection with who don't know Christ, who I need to influence towards a life with Christ, and realizing that it's not a religious relationship I want them to have with Him. It's just a relationship like I have with Him. You need to find somebody, because here's the biggest thing. I'm going to close with this as Justin comes, is that so many of us say, I want to be like Jesus. And yet Jesus hung out with a bunch of reprobate people who needed Him. And many times we get around, the only people we get around is the people we want to hang out with. Already they don't need Him because they already got Him. My prayer is for you as a church to recognize that all of us are influencing somebody. We're nurturing somebody. We're leading somebody. We have integrity with somebody. We have all these things, these attributes. But find one outside of that and say, I'm making that. If you want to call it project, whatever. That's my person to be an influence in, to be a generational influence for the kingdom of God. Bow your heads with me, if you would, just for a moment. Father, I thank You for Your word today, God. I pray that we could apply all these things You placed in my heart to those that are sitting here, Lord, to every life that's here. I pray, God, that what we shared today, what the Holy Spirit has shared today, God, will find its way into our lives, into our hearts, and our minds. You are God's hope. I am God's hope. I am God's plan. There is no plan B. I am it. I am. So I choose to be an influencer. That's the life I choose to live. To influence people towards Christ. That's my goal. Having said that, with every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, just need to make that connection. There is no act you have to do. There's no work you have to do to know Christ. None. It's simply one thing. I did it in my apartment by myself. Nobody there. Nobody led me. I said this, God, save me. I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. I'm sorry that I've lived my life wrong. Change my life. I want salvation in my life. I want eternal life with You, not separated from You. Thank You. I believe today for salvation in my life. And something along those lines of a prayer, I prayed and God radically changed my life. Didn't take me coming to a church, didn't take me giving it an offering, didn't take me working in some kind of ministry. It's simply me and my heart. So today, before we go, you'd say, Pastor, I'm there. I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. I need that connection. Before we go, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. That's not my goal. My goal is just simply help you to just provide an environment for you to introduce you to the One who saved you, who died on a cross for you. And you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm the only one looking around in this room. So if you say, that's me, Pastor, I want to make that commitment. I'm going to make that commitment today. You slip your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody in this room? Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray, and you can pray this prayer with me. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, or maybe you did. Just pray in your heart right where you're at. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. Sorry the way I've lived. I know, God, you've seen it. You're not shocked by it. I can feel you knocking at my heart. So today I invite you in. Come in and change things. I commit my life to you as my Savior, my Lord. And I give it to you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you.